As always, before we get into this episode, we just want to shoot a little bit of love to one of our excellent sponsors, which is Pete Milk at Milky Way Recordings, a very professional studio that you should check out. Get in touch with Pete at pmilkovic.1@gmail.com.
And you can sound like this.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck you, you're wrong. Fuck you, we're right.
Welcome back once again to the Fatitude Era, where the only table we put people through is a buffet table. I'm your host, Jackknife Jess Smith.
El Jordano Diablo.
And we are here to once again continue on the journey into the good, the bad, and the ugly of professional wrestling. Well, we're going to get right into it. This week in wrestling, not a lot happening. Very shitty Raw this week.
Yeah, it wasn't, I mean, it wasn't very good, but I mean, there was some certain highlights that I dug for sure.
There was some certain highlights. I mean, you know, we started off briefly with another Sheamus jerk off ceremony.
Yeah, but I do have to give props. They made Roman Reigns look really good right there for a minute when he came out of fucking nowhere.
They made Roman look really strong.
Yeah, for once.
But that's the thing. I will say, you know, the New Day are doing their jobs as heels.
Oh, and they're doing it so well, man. I fucking love those dudes. Each week, I love Xavier Woods more and more and more. He's so fucking funny, dude.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, I just wish they had someone better to support. You know what I mean? Like,
right, like that they weren't cronies for fucking Sheamus. Which,
exactly.
I mean, with the state of everything else going on in the world, isn't a fucking good thing. Like, oh yeah, we'll have the three black guys fucking be cronies for the whitest white guy WWE.
All I'm saying here.
Fucking Irish bastard.
All I'm saying here is we have ISIS bombing places, we have people shooting up Planned Parenthood, and now we have Sheamus as world champion. Vince, hasn't this world suffered enough?
I mean, all I'm saying is, like, It's like Vince wants somebody to come in and shoot up the fucking WWE. I mean, I wouldn't condone.
He's like, it'd be great TV.
Can you imagine the ratings? That is totally. I mean, everybody says you can't joke about everything, but yeah, you can. I mean, but seriously, that is a total Vince fucking move.
It really
like,
is.
What he would encourage something like that. Well, if we lose 10 fans, I think we'll be okay.
Because yeah,
exactly. We'll gain 50,000 more.
Exactly. Before we get into it, once again, I want to introduce our Lord and Savior, Pete Milkovich. Pete, say hello.
How's it going, everybody?
It's got to love him. He's that sexy, manly voice right there.
He does. It's because he's so goddamn tall, man.
Right? No kidding.
That's exactly what it is.
He's a tall man.
I'm pretty sure if he went through like the entrance of the WWE arena, like when each wrestler does their entrance, he'd probably hit his head
on the Titan Tron. Yeah, he'd have to duck.
Be like, oh, coming through.
Sorry.
But like in the events of like when it's like those surprise ones where they run out like during someone else's match.
Just totally eat shit.
You just eat shit, bang your head on the Titantron, just and like the announcers, they know it's going to happen. So they're still reacting and they're just like, oh my God, it's Pete Milk. Oh my God. Oh, medic.
Do we got a bleeder? This is something about Mary quote.
Dude, don't say that. We're gonna get sued by the Farrelly brothers.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, because I'm sure they're listening right now. They're avid wrestling fans. I bet.
I mean, you know, be cool if they did.
It'd be sweet if they wrote. If they would join the creative team.
This episode of the Fatitude Era, brought to you by Me, Myself, and Irene, 10th anniversary Blu-ray is out now.
I was gonna say that movie came out in like '99, I think.
No, it didn't.
Me, Myself, and Irene.
2004.
No, it's either '99 or 2000. I'll look it up right now.
2000 was something about Mary.
No, that was like 97, dude, or 98.
Whatever.
Because Brett Favre's in it, and it was like right after they won the...
Brett Favre's in it, and that was back when he was still relevant.
Well, dude, I mean, he was relevant for like another 8 years.
Because he kept coming back.
No.
This isn't a football podcast.
Yeah, and why the fuck are you talking like you know anything about football, so shut up.
I don't know.
About what was I looking at? Me, Myself, and Irene?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, this is now a movie check, fact check podcast. All right, it was 2000.
Yeah. Let's...
You said 2004, so shut your fucking mouth.
I thought it was 2004. No, 2004 was The Ringer. That's right.
Did they make that?
Oh, that movie was terrible.
Yeah, well, although there are some great quotes in that. When the fuck did we get ice cream?
Yeah.
That's the only quote.
That and I thought you said your name was Stavi.
I thought my personal favorite one is when he's like sitting there and he's like, my name is Othel and I like to count the potatoes.
Yeah, that's the dude. That's one of the dudes from, what's that movie? Galaxy Quest. And that's a fucking great movie.
That movie is phenomenal.
I love that. I heard that they were going to make a sequel to that.
They should not do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, sequels never really turn. I mean,
especially after this amount of time. You know what I mean?
Like, well, I mean, look at Dumb and Dumber 2. That movie was fucking stupid as shit. I almost called it dumb.
But... See, I saw it for discounted prices, so I wasn't as disappointed.
Yeah, that movie blew. Anyway, this week in wrestling.
This week in wrestling, back to what we were talking about.
The New Day is doing their job, I mean, correctly, and it's awesome. They've got so much heat, but people love it. Like, yeah. People love to hate those dudes, and it's fucking awesome.
Well, yeah, and it's kind of like when, you know, D-Generation X did their heel turn. It's like...
Right. I mean, it's just definitely like a turned down version of that, but I like how they've been doing like the humping everything is hilarious.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
It's really funny, and I really like they are one of the most watchable segments on the 90-minute version of Raw on Hulu Plus.
Yeah. This Fatitude Era brought to you by Hulu Plus.
Yeah. No. Hey, they used to sponsor podcasts back in the day. I don't know if they still do, but
I mean,
oh, they're too big now.
They're too busy focusing on like putting every
season. Please give us money.
Every season of Hell's Kitchen up.
Only you would know that.
What can I say? I got a wife that loves cooking shows.
What can she cook?
Yeah, she can.
All right, right on.
She's from Kentucky, dude. That's Southern cooking.
That's you're a misogynist piece of shit. No wonder you're a fan of the WWE.
I said she was good at cooking. I didn't say that she has a chain attached to her that only goes to the length of a bed.
I mean, dude, you do live like two streets away from where Castro lives, so.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. All right, we're going to stop there. I did watch Raw this week. What the fuck else happened?
Well,
the Dudleys did their shit with the Wyatts, yeah, which was terrible.
I mean... And that's another thing. Like, don't get me wrong, it was rad to see Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah, that was. But then, because I wasn't expecting it.
But neither was I. But that doesn't change the fact that I couldn't get too excited about it. He brings out a trash can full of weapons, and I'm just like, this is the PG era. Nothing's gonna happen.
It's the PG era. Why are you trying to be New Jack?
Exactly.
I liked how I like that they let him sport his House of Hardcore t-shirt. That was pretty cool.
Be sure to watch House of Hardcore's next pay-per-view entitled
Wilbur. But no, have they said anything about like his status as far as if he's going to do more?
I don't think.
Maybe just to promote TLC.
I think it's just going to all come together at, you know, a big match at TLC, you know, because it's the fucking
Still, if
Dudleys.
That gives me two more weeks of Tommy Dreamer on TV,
well,
I'm happy.
Not necessarily. They might just have him be like, you know, like for example, Jericho with his one-off at Night of Champions.
Yeah.
But like even then, it was, you know, I'm looking at it like, even if it's going to be a TLC match with the Dudleys and Tommy Dreamer in it, it's still going to be shitty because it is PG.
But the thing is like, okay, so the Wyatts have pretty much been made to look stronger in this so far.
Yeah.
Like, are the Dudleys going to bury the Wyatt family now too? Like,
exactly.
I mean, it's like, because, I mean, obviously we've talked plenty on this podcast about Bray Wyatt, like, moving up in the company, but it's like...
never talked about Bray Wyatt.
But, like, at the same time, like, I break it down. I want to see the Dudleys and Tommy Dreamer win that match.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
well, I mean, it's like, screw it. He's already a glorified jobber. Yep. Might as well add another one to the list.
Exactly. Dolph Ziggler's match was good. Short, but good. I mean, those two.
Yeah, but the problem I have with Dolph Ziggler, like, you know, his match, who cares?
I know
what I mean? Well, I get that
he's like... I enjoy watching him wrestle.
Yeah, but like, as far as like the match it goes, it's like, there's nothing on the line. It's for a stupid feud. Who gives a shit? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. As much as you love the performer, doesn't change the fact that they're in a pointless fucking match.
But that's not his fault.
Oh, I know it's not his fault, but that doesn't change the fact that, you know, it was a pointless match. I'm not blaming Dolph. If anything, I'm blaming creative. You have to,
at the end of the day, dude, like, it's not like the Attitude Era where every fucking match had a...
had a reason
behind it. Like, you know, Terry Runnels is blowing fucking Val Venus and the first match on the card is Goldust and Val Venus.
Yeah.
And you are invested. It's not like that anymore.
I wish it was.
They need Cena back, dude. They need Cena back. It really is. And
that's the thing.
And that's like, something I never thought I'd say.
Well, what's where funny is he?
He's filming a fucking movie. He's doing his vacation shit.
I mean, he is. I don't think he's filming a movie right now.
He
was taking some time off because they asked him like, "What are you taking off for?" Because even when they take off time to go film a movie, it'll say like, "Hey, you know, there'll be an announcement." Hey, it'll say like, "John Cena cast in the Marine 7 or something." Gotcha. You know, but
I know where he's at, guys. Did you see all those YouTube videos he's in? That's what he's doing.
He's doing a lot right now.
He was a lot of YouTube videos.
I saw him on Dexter. I saw him in Goodfellas. You know,
just going back and adding John Cena. He's a busy man, dude. Have you seen that preview for that movie with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler with him in it?
Yeah,
just like the part with him. I think he's talking to Tina Fey, and she says something like, "Let me know what your safe word is." And he's like, "My safe word is keep going." And he's got like shitty fucking tattoos all up on his arms and neck and shit. It looks fucking hilarious.
No, I
Jordan,
actually...
you need to make sure you trigger warning that.
Yeah, because I can't
have actually... a safe word about talking about a safe word.
I encourage the PC and feminist crowd to listen to this podcast.
Yeah, we are one podcast away from becoming a Facebook post.
Hey, we will take any promotion we can get. Even if it's telling people not to listen, people are going to listen, so I don't give a fuck.
In the words of Gordon Gekko, he never said this, but any press is good press.
It's 100% true. What else happened on Raw this week?
Wait, hold on a second.
As you can tell, Raw was so interesting this week.
So interesting. We're talking about Gordon Gekko and John Cena with shitty tattoos asking about a safe word.
Yeah.
But no.
It's more interesting than Raw this week.
But you were... God damn it. I just forgot what we were talking about. Exactly. Probably Raw. But
yeah.
No, but it's funny because you said it is true that all... press is good press. I'm pretty sure the Hulk Hogan sex tape is comments he made in that. I don't think that was good press.
It kept him relevant.
It kept him relevant and gave us one of our best episodes yet.
Yeah,
so.
Very true. 1 out of 4 ain't bad, man.
All downhill from here, folks.
That's why I made a Facebook funny tonight on our page, and I said that we're going to hang it up after tonight.
I got hopeful. I thought it was true. Did you
sure see? Pete, Ty, and Brutus the Barber Beefcat all thought the same thing. Like, oh, this is really going to end?
Fucking A.
We need a Facebook page for Brutus.
I think we need to have Mr. Kidney Leans. He needs to draw him up. So.
You mean Kidney Leans Adam Paduke?
Yes,
that guy?
Yeah,
the guy who does our logo? Yeah. And now multiple logos?
Yeah, exactly.
The new one looks pretty cool.
With the one with the cartoons of us or the one with the, like, our names under it?
Yeah,
the one with the cartoons.
Yeah, dude, it looks fucking sick.
That's
you guys should do one with like Brutus, like flexing hard as fuck,
like right in front of us.
Yeah, like wearing sunglasses and he has a little smirk.
I would love it. I'm totally.
Can we get him in like the pixelated Thug Life sunglasses? That'd be great.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. That's perfect.
We could be totally
Adam,
relevant.
If you're hearing this, we know what we want next.
Exactly. You're getting more than one mention on the podcast this week. So.
This one's not even an ad. We just really like what he did.
Yeah, exactly.
And he listens to the podcast too, which is fucking awesome.
But yeah, I actually logged on to www.kidneyleans.com. And
it's not like you said www.kidneyleans.com.
Yeah, this just in, our artist actually joined WWE.
Oh, dude.
He skipped NXT.
That would be sweet. If he could do like a sweet fucking shirt for Ambrose or something, that would be rad.
That'd be cool. Just draw up Andrews.
But I'm pretty sure Vince just has a bunch of, I'm sure he has a sweatshop in China of like artists or just drawing all that stuff up. Like they don't get to leave and they get paid 10 cents a day.
That's
and...
why he kicked Hogan out. Because he didn't want to be like, we're not racist. We don't have a sweatshop. What are you talking about?
Just like, it's just like. They just have, like, a big sheet pulled over where it used to say WWE, like, China, and it's just like, no, we kicked her out. It was just an homage to her.
Yeah, just an homage. What the fuck?
And we burned it down.
But, yeah.
She does porn now. Well, I don't know if she still does porn. I don't care if she does porn.
I mean, there is. I can pull it up.
I'm good. I'd rather watch the Hulk Hogan sex tape.
I can pull that up.
I'm sure you can, you freak.
Like I said, Blu-ray.
So wait, what else happened on Raw? What's her, Charlotte Flair's taking a heel turn, which it just seems like the three divas that they have, they just take turns. Like, yeah. It's like,
no, if anything, it just seems...
That's recycling, dude.
Well, no, what happens is, you know, we went green this month. Yeah. No, but well, if anything, you know, I look at it as like, you know, they're just like, we have no idea where to take this. Charlotte's a bad person now.
Yeah, and they're gonna do Charlotte versus Paige, and then Paige is gonna take. Yeah, it's just all stupid.
And I just love that it's like, ooh, Charlotte cheated to win against her friend Becky Lynch. It's like
nobody saw that coming, did they? Not at all. Boring. And then what was the last segment on Raw? Oh, the match, the Roman Reigns, like the Survivor Series. Yeah,
the new Nation. Like it was like something like I forget what they were.
Oh yeah, the. Like I fucking said last week, Axis of Evil or something. Yeah. It's called the League of Nations or something. I think that's what it's called. Which yeah. They got real fucking original with that.
The League of Nations seems kind of redundant, don't you think?
Just that's stupid. But I mean, it was funny. I was reading an article online today, and they were talking about it, and totally left out Alberto Del Rio. I was like, that's kind of shitty, dude.
Well, and what's funny is like now. It's like, well, I guess Mex America is over now.
Yeah, what happened, dude? Yeah, where's Zeb Coulter now? He lose his job this week?
His battery died on a scooter, apparently.
He can't come around anymore. All right, so there was that, and then...
And then there was I don't know if you saw it, because I watched the full on episode.
Okay.
But there was Ryback versus Rusev.
Yeah, I did see that.
That was such a sad match.
Dude.
Nothing happened.
Nah, it was... No, nothing happened. I mean, like... I'm not a huge fan of Ryback, but we don't need to talk shit on the dude. But, like, Rusev is actually a very talented guy as a big dude. And it's just, I mean, the way they did that match was, the way they brought him out on Miz TV and then had Ryback come out. And then they're like, oh, yeah, Ryback's going to face Rusev right now. It's like they didn't build that up at all before he came out. And then he gets counted out because Lana gets knocked over. It's just stupid.
Well, and at the same time, it's like, it's exactly what I said in relation to the Ziggler match. Who cares?
Yeah.
No one gives a shit. And it's like, I get that, you know, they're trying to find some place to put Lana or Lana or whatever the fuck her name is. But still, like...
What's up with all her backstage heat? Why? I've yet to click on one of those links. I've just seen it.
I mean, she... Like, she's been getting into a Twitter war with somebody. I think it might have been Paige. And they were, like, she was talking about, like, oh, NXT, when I was back in NXT and blah, 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 you know. And it was like, no one cares. You're not relevant.
All right, so that's this week in wrestling. I would say it was better than last week's Raw.
Yeah.
Like you said.
Congratulations, you've gone from an F+ to a fucking D-.
Yeah, well, I mean, at least that'll get you passing.
I mean, barely.
Yep. That's all they want.
Not in Catholic school.
I wouldn't know.
I would.
In this week's segment of This Week in Wrestling, wrestling is still relevant.
To some people, to two fat guys in Cleveland who have a podcast about it.
and one of the fat guys' 12-year-old brothers.
Exactly.
He finds it relevant.
Yep. I mean, I'm sure he's just waiting for the moment Cena comes back. And honestly... So am I, because that'll be more interesting than anything they've got going on right now.
I'm hoping for the heel turn, but it will never happen.
All right, what's next?
Well, actually, before we get into that, one other thing that happened this week in wrestling, it's pretty big news for us. For all of you that are listening to us on SoundCloud.
Ah, yes.
Got big news for you. If you're an Apple user, you can now log on to iTunes.
Search the Fatitude Era. And it comes up, and it's there, and you'll see it. And all three episodes are on there.
And when we get this one up, that'll be on there, too.
Yep, it'll automatically go up when it goes up on SoundCloud from
exactly.
now on.
Exactly. It is beautiful.
Oh, my God, you guys figured it out.
Dude, it only took me 3 fucking weeks, man.
3 weeks and 67 different updates on his computer.
And 9 million packs of cigarettes.
It's 9 million packs of cigarettes.
Jordan, dude, like, told you I could do it for you.
I know, but I needed validation, no, man.
Pete, what's funny?
I appreciate that you took some you invested in yourself and took some intuition and actually figured it out on your own.
I thought that's what doing this podcast was.
Because I was like, he's just going to be on SoundCloud forever. No, no one's going to hear it on iTunes and there's going to be no promotion.
It's on iTunes. Dude, we're big time now.
We are inside Steve Jobs' baby right now.
I'm so proud of you guys. You guys are really fucking doing it.
Let's have a round of applause for that. That wasn't even a soundbite.
Yeah, that wasn't even a soundbite. That was live.
That was live.
No, but it's funny that you mentioned like that he figured it out by himself and that you could have done it. I actually said to him like, what, 3 days ago? I was like, doesn't Pete have a fucking Apple computer?
Yep.
Like, wouldn't it be much easier on that?
And I got it up that day. Well, we sent in the request that day, and then I think yesterday is when it got approved.
Yeah, and then we're sitting there at 3 in the goddamn morning at Jordan's house, and we're just fucking, like, sitting there, like, constantly refreshing the email, hoping we get an approval from fucking iTunes. I'm
motherfucking iTunes left and right, but I got it up there. It happened, dude.
But yeah,
that stuff I send you help or no?
Well, yeah, actually it did. Like, that was, like, the beginning of me figuring it out, so yeah, it did. I had problems with RSS feeds and shit that people, A, probably don't want to hear about, B, have any fucking clue what I'm talking about, so. Yeah.
All the audio
but
files.
But I do now.
All the audio files are just like fucking,
now,
yeah.
I'm a podcaster now.
Literally, we're on the place where you get stuff for iPods.
Yeah, dude. Like, and I hope
so people, subscribe to the Fatitude Era.
Exactly. On subscribe, iTunes. Leave us comments, tell us you hate us, leave us fucking stars on there, man.
Seriously, man, it's fucking legitimate. It actually says explicit
next
to our
it's
files and
cool,
shit.
Dude, I'm all about
fuck.
It. Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Fuckity fuck, fuck, fuck.
That's why we're explicit on iTunes. You just search in the search bar and podcast, Fatitude Era, and it comes up.
Horse cock.
Yeah. Exactly. See, this is more interesting than the week in wrestling, man. Fuck that shit. We'll talk about it next week.
If you are listening to us on iTunes, congratulations. You're probably the only one.
Yeah, probably the first one because we haven't gotten any downloads from it yet, but that's okay.
Exactly. Because I don't think because we wanted to keep it secret for the episode. We didn't want to announce it.
Keep it secret. Keep it safe.
but yeah, we're pretty excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have much, so to have that. I mean, also to have, like, I mean, not that we're counting or anything, but to have, like, 50 listens on last week's episode before a week was even up was pretty cool, actually, because we had, like, 40 in the first 4 days.
Well, not only that, but I don't know if you check the stats on a regular basis.
Not like you do.
On the first episode, we have listeners in fucking the Netherlands, in fucking United Kingdom.
It's pretty cool.
And Spain.
Yeah, I mean, I don't...
They probably couldn't understand a fucking word we were
not
saying
understand
in Spain.
They probably only understood the swear words, because, I mean, it like me and any other language that I'm not fluent in, I only know the bad words. Like, in Spanish, I know a couple, and Greek, I think, and Italian.
What if all those international plays are just, like, accidents?
Or ISIS.
Just, like, someone's...
ISIS, they gave up with our idea when we were talking about how they should invade the next pay-per-view.
They're like, these two fat boys, I don't like.
Are ISIS Russian now?
It's all, dude. Because ISIS is universal, man. They're not just fucking Middle Eastern.
Well, last I checked, if you're Russian and a terrorist, aren't you a communist or something? Yeah.
According to Ronald Reagan, yes. But no, we're happy to be on iTunes. Yeah, it's funny that you say that. You bring that up about how we had listens in other countries, but they haven't listened to the other two fucking episodes. So fuck them.
They probably just got like halfway through the first episode.
You understand
like,
that?
This is fucking boring.
You Viking fucks.
This is America.
Isn't Netherlands? Don't they worship? Isn't that Norse god? And that's Norway. It's all the same.
Yeah, can't tell you how last time I walked into a pot bar in fucking Norway.
The Netherlands? Wait, is Amsterdam in the Netherlands?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, okay, that way you said that.
Yeah.
I don't fucking know. I'm in America. We have to protect these borders, man. I don't actually mean that.
Well, we have to protect these borders, but I'm punk rock, so I don't do that.
Yeah, so I actually really don't give a shit. I don't even vote, so fuck you. what do we got next, man?
Well, as always, a staple after two episodes, a staple of our podcast, which
is a staple barely holding the seams of our shirts together.
A staple that you bought at a fucking dollar store. It is time for this week's top 10 list.
that in.
We lost the licensing rights for that song.
Yeah. Right.
No, but
for that karaoke version.
But yeah, this week it's a little bit of a different type of list. I mean,
yeah, I could only come up with one, but it's funny.
So I have to come up with fucking nine,
you
dude.
Don't have to. I mean, I might come up with more.
Just come up with off the cusp. You're better like that. That's a callback to our second episode.
I
anyway,
guess it is.
But yeah, this week we've decided to go with top 10 finishing moves renamed for real life events. So I have five. The first one. Randy Orton, the RKO, gets changed to the RK. Oh, fuck, my shoulder!
For the last 10 years.
Exactly. Hulk Hogan, he goes from the big boot to the big jack boot, as we mentioned last week.
Because
he's racist.
Because he's a Nazi.
Exactly.
He's blonde haired, blue eyed.
He goose steps across the ring, hits him with the big jack boot.
I would pay money to see that, though. Good money. American dollars, even.
American dollars. Not even German marks.
No, American dollars.
Okay. Chris Benoit, the crippler crossface, ooh, becomes the double murder suicide.
That's so fucked up. That's so fucked up. I'm Go sorry. Ahead.
The Eddie Guerrero frog splash becomes the heart attack drop. Hey, WWE milked his death. I can do it.
Yeah, they did.
Exactly. They're
making Batista go out and cry on stage.
Oh, man. And the Rey Mysterio 619 becomes the death by concussion.
All right, so far the only one I came up with is Scott Hall's The Outsider's Edge becomes The Outsider's Straight Edge. Because he's clean and sober now, apparently. I was trying to think of some other ones, like the, Sting's was the Scorpion Deathlock.
Yeah.
I was thinking of, what was it, like the Non-Denominational Deathlock.
Yeah.
Because I had been thinking of them, but none of them were good. I was trying to come up with Owen Hart's, but he just did the sharpshooter. And, I mean, he did break his neck, and there was blood in the ring, so it's kind of like somebody shot him. I don't know. I don't feel good
about
joking
about
that.
I was thinking of his new finishing move, which is the Fall from Grace.
Ooh, that's no good, man. Owen Hart, that's sad.
Yeah.
Let's see. So who are some other fucking... I mean, this Stone Cold Stunner, you don't really need to say anything about that.
Yeah.
The Rock Bottom bullshit, bitch. I'm at the top. Fuck you! That's 100% true. And
I got one extra.
Go ahead. We
have the Ric Flair figure four leg lock becomes the My Offspring's in a Coffin leg lock. The 6 feet
as
under leg lock.
Yeah, as we've said before, he fucked Ric Flair. So
fuck the him. Flair family, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I like Charlotte Flair. She's all right.
Yeah.
Even though she cheated. Fucking bitch.
Exactly.
Because I really care about stuff like that, man. I want wrestlers to win clean. I want all of them to win clean.
Exactly. So we kind of decided to go a little mean for this for this top 10 list.
I think it's because we're both jaded right now. Exactly. And we just don't give a fuck.
We're more jaded than track 11 on Green Day's Insomniac.
That's a good song, though.
Jaded?
Yeah. Wait, Jaded's the one after Brains Do. I fucking love that song. It's all fast and punk rock and shit.
This week's episode of the Fatitude Era brought to you by Green Day.
Fucking 15 years ago, watch your goddamn mouth. Dude, even if Billy Joel threw a fucking... Billy Joel Armstrong, if he threw $15 million at us, I'd be like, fuck you, make a better record, and I'll think about it. Actually, that's not true. I'd be like, give me that fucking money. I will say, what was that What was that last record they put out?
Wasn't that the Uno Dos Tres?
Oh, I was thinking of the one that came out in like 2009.
That was a 21st century breakdown.
That one. I'll say that's a good record on air if Billy Joel or Joel.
He keeps coming back to Billy Joel.
That's because he's not fucking punk rock anymore. Fuck him, dude.
He's the piano man?
Yeah, ever since American Idiot, they use a lot of fucking piano and orchestra bullshit. Leave that to the professionals.
Green Day comes out on stage like, hey, we only do 80s Joel. Strictly 80s Joel.
Strictly 80s Joel, sir. Take you and your fucking whore wife and get out of here.
This week's episode of the Fatitude Era brought to you by Step Brothers on Blu-ray.
That'd be cool. Okay, so what else do we have for right now?
Well, for right now, I mean, I can't think of anything.
So should we give these people an ad?
We should probably give them an ad.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Go support whoever we're talking about, because if not, this ain't going to last very long, bitches.
So we'll be right back on the Fatitude Era.
We'll lose sponsors faster than fucking Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, after these messages.
Have you seen those logos?
Dude, those logos are sexy.
Logos. We have like three now.
We have three now, and it's all because of one man.
There's cartoons of us, dude.
There's cartoons of us, and they've been done by Adam Paduk, a.k.a. Kidney Leans. And guess what? You can check out his awesome artwork at the one, the only, KidneyLeans.com. That's right. This motherfucker has a fucking website.
That's legit as fuck.
You can contact him there. You can get in touch with him. You can check out his designs and choose one that you want to imitate. But guess what? You can't steal ours, bitch.
No, you can't. Can't have it.
So check him out, KidneyLeans.com or on Instagram at KidneyLeans. Adam Paduk, KidneyLeans, check him out right now. Pause the podcast. Go check him out.
What's up, guys? It's Bam Margera here, and I'm here to tell you about this awesome haggard-ass band called World's Scariest Police Chasers.
Right across the way, dude. Pittsburgh, PA.
Dude, we're in Westchester right now. We're talking about this haggard-ass band, dude. They make CKY look like Don Vito's asshole. It's so awesome. You heard that song at the beginning, and you're going to hear it again at the end. It's a pretty awesome song called I Had a Time. It's so haggard. It's off their album No Effects, and out come the wolves, Dookie. Dude, it reminds me of the time that Dunn shoved a car up his ass. It's so awesome. But seriously, check him out at lockandkeyco.bandcamp.com. It's so fucking haggard, dude.
I don't have time for these reindeer games.
Welcome back to the Fatitude Era. As always, I'm your host, Jackknife Jess Smith.
El Hordano Diablo.
And we're going to go into the staple of our show. And
the meat.
The meat and potatoes.
The meat and the bones.
Exactly. Because believe it or not, Jordan's actually in a somewhat good mood this week, so he actually does not have a Hordano's lament for us.
Yeah, I'm just too depressed to write something. That's really what it is. I'm not in a good mood, man.
What's got you depressed, Jordan?
Oh, the same shit as always. You know, Raw sucked. We talked about it already, man. I'm bringing my personal life into this bullshit.
That's what it all comes down to. If Raw sucks, you're just like, I hate my fucking life.
Yeah. So pretty much, I've been on suicide watch for the last 6 months.
I think you've been on suicide watch for like 3 years now. But we owe that all that sadness
to one, our meat and bones this week.
To one man. The man known as...
The Alpha Fuck.
The Alpha Fuck. Or as he's
Vincent known, Kennedy McMahon.
Vincent Kennedy McMahon and his son, Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle.
But literally, we were just sitting around after, you know, we did our show last week and we felt really good. And we just realized that it all comes down to Vince McMahon's direction and the fact is without some of the stupid things he's pulled,
we wouldn't have some of the comedy that
we wouldn't have a podcast, really.
Yeah, that's very, very true.
Because it was kind of ridiculous, but it is what it is. I mean, to really go back into it, you know, you have to go all the way to the beginning where he really took over and decided to say, fuck the territories.
Fuck the territories. I'm going worldwide. I mean, but like, props to him for doing that when he did it, just because.
Smart business decision.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And that's the one thing you can't take away from the dude is he is a genius when it comes to making money.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just reading up on him a little bit, and one of the things I read was, and you know, he was net worth at like 1.1 and 1.2 billion, and then in 2011 or 2012 they net worthed him at 750 million because he lost a lot of money, because WWE lost a lot of money, like their stocks went down and he lost 350 million bucks. But as of last year, he's back up to 1.2 billion, so he knows what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah,
I mean, but the thing is, dude, you're 70 fucking years old. You don't know what you're doing any longer when it comes to the direction of what the fans want to see. You don't care. He doesn't give a shit what the fans want to see. I mean, I know he's got people who read the internet and tell him what the fans want, and I'm sure he just sits back and laughs his fucking ass off like, well, that's not going to happen.
I mean, it's, I don't know, it's a big fucking shitstorm when it comes to Vince McMahon. And what's funny is you mentioned that he has good business decisions, but he's made some pretty fucking poor ones.
The XFL.
The World Bodybuilding Federation.
What was the one, the punch thing that we talked about a few weeks
the
ago?
The Brawl for All.
The Brawl for All. I was like, dude, I remember fans fucking booing that. Because they did it when I saw, when it was, I think it was Raw in 97 or 98 when Kane won the belt from Austin the night before. And then the next night, Austin won it back in Cleveland. And I was there and it was fucking incredible. And if you have never seen that match before, I suggest, and you just listeners, go back and fucking look up the Raw in Cleveland where Austin won the title. And they did a Brawl for All match. And I remember the fans just fucking booing it. And I remember I was sitting next to my dad, and my dad goes, "What the fuck is this bullshit?"
Oh, man. And it's not just like things like that. Those are obviously like three big ones.
Yeah.
But, you know, he lets his ego get in the way of a lot of things.
Yeah.
For example, the Invasion. When the Invasion happened,
could have been one of the greatest angles of all time.
No, it could have been the greatest angle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of all time. And what did he do? He decided that his ego was just too fucking big to let the Invasion, you know, be strong.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even...
Even with Austin leading it for a minute.
But here's the thing. I mean, they didn't need Austin to fucking lead it. It was literally...
Let Paul Heyman do it.
Like, when you look at the Invasion, you know, you have... And that was another thing. Oh, yeah, we're going to...
You know, that pay-per-view was in Cleveland.
Yeah.
The
Invasion. Well, it's like, you know, you have the ECW Invasion. And who's decided that's going to lead ECW?
I don't even remember.
Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah.
It's fucking stupid.
Makes no sense whatsoever. None.
And Paul Heyman was there.
At least with WCW, Eric Bischoff wasn't working for him yet. So, like, Shane did the whole thing. They did that whole angle where he bought WCW.
Yeah, where he was in Panama Bay,
Florida. And he bought...
While Vince was in Cleveland, actually.
And so, I mean, they could have just done that.
Well, and you know, like I mentioned it before, but Brian Zane from Wrestling with Regret actually has a really great video about the Invasion, and he made a great point. He was talking about how, in terms of wins and losses, the, you know, Alliance and WWE were pretty much on an equal playing field, but the fact is you had this great talent from, you know, WCW and ECW, and they just decided that this whole Invasion thing needed to be about a quarrel between the McMahons, and it was fucking stupid. It was just like
that's Vince's ego.
Yeah, it's like WrestleMania 2000. You know, when they had the big match at the end where you had
the four way.
Yeah, the Fatal Four Way with Mick Foley and Triple H and Big Show.
No, it was Jericho.
It was Jericho.
It was Jericho.
I was thinking about the Triple Threat.
Jericho, The Rock, Triple H, and Mankind. That was the Fatal Four Way.
Well, no, it wasn't Mankind. It was just Mick Foley.
No, it's Mankind's Mankind. It's Mick Foley. Is any of the characters that I fucking say is just like Mankind's? He could be Cactus Jack, and he's fucking Mankind. I don't care. Correct me on my Mick Foley shit, son.
But it's a ridiculous thing. It really is, and. You know, I just remember when they announced the XFL, and
I remember I was stoked.
Well, and what was funny is like they tried to make it like it's a more hardcore version of football with a shorter playing clock. And
I think I watched, if I remember correctly, I watched one XFL game, and I remember like three plays in, a defensive lineman just fucking goes offsides and clothesline the fucking quarterback, and I was like, well, if they're going to do this all the time, that might be interesting to watch, but...
Then they didn't.
Then they didn't.
No, what was funny is he was all about the XFL. He was so proud of it. He did a fucking tour announcing it at various places, and then he fucking... Like, I remember he made a deal with, like, a movie studio, and he had the XFL being played in the movie The Sixth Day with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at the beginning, this dude just gets, like, fucking... blown out, like tackled in an XFL game, and that's supposed to take place in the 22nd century, I believe.
I was like, it was gonna go on that long.
Exactly. It's the same thing as like, you know, when you see, you know, wrestling shows like Wrestling Society X. Like, I don't know if you remember that. No. That was an MTV venture, where they had like, number one, it was a 30-minute long TV show. It was like a wrestling show. And they used like pyro and fake effects to make things look like it was like a death match.
No, but I remember Celebrity Death Match. That was at least interesting.
That was just interesting because of Claymation.
No, I loved that show. I heard they were bringing that back too.
They did.
Oh, they did already?
Well, no, they already brought it back. They brought it back in like 2007.
No, I thought they were bringing it back like again.
Why?
I don't know. So Justin Bieber can fight Miley Cyrus. I mean, I have no fucking idea.
But like, who gives a shit about Celebrity Death Match anymore?
Yeah, I mean, it's outdated.
I mean, think about it. Like, the kids,
I loved it back then.
Well, the kids that were teenagers when that was originally on, like, yeah, in the 90s, are now in, like, their fucking 30s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, they're not going to sit down and be like, oh, I'm excited for the new
Celebrity
Deathmatch.
Whereas Keenan and Kel are getting back together, and all I want is, like, an adult version of Keenan and Kel. I like, want that show.
Instead of, like, orange soda, he's obsessed with, like, Patron.
Or vodka or something. I don't give a shit. Orange soda and vodka. I don't
give
a
fuck. We just
have
an intervention episode with Keenan
Kel
and Kel.
Is just, like, a fucking alcoholic. That would be awesome. I would love it.
That's the what brings them back together. You know, Keenan gets a phone call
about Kel. Keenan's like, I have to leave SNL because Kel's a fucking alcoholic.
Got
to
stop doing ads for Fandango.
Step off the ledge, Kel.
Yeah.
And I'll be the first episode back. But yeah, as far as Vince McMahon goes, I thought a funny thing on his Wikipedia page was, the Kiss My Ass Club members are listed. And I just found it pretty funny that who is on the Kiss My Ass Club, William Regal. I mean, I guess that kind of makes sense. But one thing that caught my eye was JR, cause they said where it happened to. He made JR, Jim Ross, kiss his ass in Oklahoma City. Like, that's a huge slap in the fucking face, dude.
It really
like,
is.
He, you know, as much as, like, Jim Ross fucking loves Oklahoma because that's where he's from. Like, to do that in, like, your home's like, dude, you're such... That's his ego, dude. That's Vince's ego.
It's the same thing as, you know, having fucking Ambrose lose terribly at fucking SmackDown in Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah, that's, I mean... another one is Sean, but I mean, he kissed Vince's ass for fucking 15 years before that, so that's nothing new.
Behind closed doors, yeah, so you know.
Kissed is something. Shane McMahon obviously makes sense, but like, you are a fucking piece of shit as a father to make your kid get down and kiss your ass in front of anywhere from 15 to 20,000 people. You're just a piece of shit. Mick Foley, a hardcore legend, but he also berated Mick Foley for years, so that's nothing fucking new. And of course, his other son, Hornswoggle. That was the last member of the Kiss My Ass Club. And hopefully the last member of the Kiss My Ass Club.
I don't think it's going to make a comeback in PG.
Maybe not.
They just end up kissing a pixelated ball.
Watch, it'll fucking end up being like somebody everybody loves too.
It'll be a John Cena.
Yeah, it'll be John Cena or fucking, I don't know, somebody. And in a day, if that ever makes a comeback, that's going to be a sad, sad day.
I mean.
The last one, I believe they said, was in 2008. Yeah. So that was we have a good seven.
And that was
years.
Right on the beginning of the PG area.
Yeah.
Era.
Area?
Yeah, the PG area. Yeah. We were in the Attitude area before.
So what do you got? What do you got with the Alpha Fuck, man?
I mean, well, you know, you actually went right into my next point. You know, he decided to go for the PG era in 2008. But do you know why he decided to do it? It wasn't for money.
No, I don't. I mean, if I might have heard it before.
It's because his fucking wife was running for the fucking
oh,
office.
Oh yeah, that's right. She was running for what was it?
Senator.
Yeah,
she was running for senator and
as a Republican.
Yeah, and he was worried that like
the shit
they were doing.
Yeah, but like the stuff they had done the 8 years prior wasn't even bad.
Well, but at the same time, it's like, you know, you look at it and it's like, oh yeah, I'm supporting my wife fully in her campaign for senator. True, I put her in a coma on live TV.
Yeah,
but
I mean, how many nice things can we say about the guy?
There's really not much.
No.
I mean
he gave us the Attitude Era.
But he's not even fully responsible for that.
Yeah, sadly, Vince Russo is.
No, but not even that.
Well, Paul Heyman is actually responsible for all of it. But
yeah, exactly. And that's.
I meant ushering it in on
WWE programming.
Just that broad of a program.
Yeah.
Like, because, I mean, they all started ripping. I mean, WCW was always the tamest out of the three, though.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. pinata on a pole match.
Jesus Christ. I mean, WCW was also very racist, but that was because Ric Flair and other people were running it behind the scenes.
Well, that's the thing. It's like Vince McMahon will take something that's not his idea and then just decide that he wants to ruin it completely. Like, prime example, when the NWO came back in 2002.
Oh, that could have been so good.
It could have been amazing. It
could have been so good.
And the guys at What Culture actually have a video of how they would have booked the NWO.
Yeah.
And it's genius. They talk about how, like, you know, they spray paint the world title with the NWO logo. Because when Vince came in and he was like, you know, when they announced the NWO coming back. And he did it where he was in that really weird shot in his office, and he's like staring at the camera, and he turns around, you see the NWO logo, and he like points to it in the mirror and shit.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember watching that.
Yeah. And like everybody was so stoked, but then they started thinking, he just said that he wants to destroy his company, so he's bringing in the NWO. Yeah.
I mean, at the same time with wrestling, you have to suspend, you know, disbelief and shit, and like...
Well, think of it this way. Like, what if you walked into a job, right? Like, for example, let's say GameStop hired you, right, for like a corporate job.
Okay.
And you walk in, and they're just like, oh shit, is this the guy we hired? Anyway, what we want you to do... is destroy our company.
I mean, want you to cook the books. If they did do that, they would have hired the right guy.
I want you to cook the books. I want you to fucking, you know, bribe law enforcement, everything.
I'd fucking steal all the money is what I would do.
And then make sure when you're caught, blame it all on us. Tell us we made you do it. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, dude, Vince McMahon also has been accused of sexual harassment 2 times. I mean, I'm sure it goes much, much further than that, but like 2 times, like in the media, and nothing ever came of it. You want to know why? Because he's got motherfucking money. He's got fuck you money.
Yeah, but it's like
alpha fuck you money.
Well, what's funny is Sable, when Sable was in WWE, WWF at the time, but we get the F out of there.
That was their thing for a while, man.
Get the F out of there.
Yep.
And then the PG era happened, and they're just like, we can't say that anymore. No, but when she actually sued him, I think it was like 96.
No, that wasn't on his Wikipedia page.
Well, she sued him for sexual harassment.
It doesn't surprise me.
And then like 2 years later, he made him kiss her. Let me rephrase that. He made her kiss him.
Money talks, dude. Money fucking talks.
It's fucking ridiculous. He's just like it just reminds me of like, you know, when Kevin Smith was talking about when they were making, I think it was Jan Sant Bob.
Mm.
And he's like, well, we got a problem with this. And Scott would just be like, here, just throw some money at it. You know? But yeah, dude, I mean, it's amazing just how bad this dude can fuck his own company, but he keeps going.
Yeah, but he still keeps making money doing it.
Exactly. I want that job.
Yeah, know? I mean, yeah, sure.
I'd love to be able to walk into my job, do everything wrong, and then just still make millions of dollars.
I've said this before. It would be nice to be a trust fund baby, but at the same time, I wouldn't appreciate anything I have, which isn't much, but I wouldn't appreciate it.
Exactly.
And because I am certainly not a trust fund baby.
Exactly. I have some carpet in my apartment. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, I actually have 2 different kinds of carpet in my apartment, so, you know, so, it's one step at a time.
He's like, so I'm moving up in the world, you know.
I mean, I used to have hardwood floors.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm winning at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm on my way to becoming the next Vincent Kennedy McMahon. It's just a slow build.
But his carpet is made of like the hopes and dreams of all wrestling fans. Yeah, and he just walks over all day. Oh shit. But another thing is it's amazing how long he took to implement the wellness policy.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
if he would have done it from the get-go, he wouldn't.
Maybe we wouldn't have so many wrestlers fucking dead.
Yeah, very true.
You know, it's kind of baffling to me, you know, just how long it took just to get some type of thing where it's like, hey, can you not do drugs or not take steroids? That'd be cool.
I mean, dude, there's the wellness program, but I mean, he still doesn't provide fucking insurance for those dudes. They have to pay for that shit themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, he also doesn't, like, they have to pay for their own hotels. They have to pay for their own travel. It's, yeah. He doesn't treat his talent well on TV. He doesn't treat them well behind the scenes. The dude is a fucking asshole.
Yeah, and that's another thing. It's like you got this new talent that comes in. Prime example with the Nexus. And what does he decide to do? He's like, we're going to build up this team. It's going to be really awesome. It's going to be the Nexus. They're going to be like this, you know, unstoppable force. But then we're just going to have Cena bury them at a pay-per-view. It's like, come on, dude. You're ruining their careers. Like, because they're supposed to come in strong. They're supposed to come in, you know, hot. But then you're just like, yeah, they're buried. We'll just bury them, you know, and then just give them something else to do afterwards. And that's why we end up with shitty storylines like we have nowadays. You know what I mean? Like, you do something that'll bury Dolph, and then you're just like, oh, okay, well, let's have him in some weird love triangle now.
Well, I mean, but, dude, it just doesn't make sense because it's like, okay, you hear who the fans pop for.
Yeah.
Those need to be your top guys. How hard is that to fucking understand, dude? Yeah. Like, I mean, if you make them your main events and shit like that, you're going to sell more merchandise. You're gonna be able to print more merchandise.
Exactly.
It's just like, I don't get where he's coming from. And I was actually reading an article today about how, you know, making Sheamus the WWE champion is all, it's Vince's plan for Roman Reigns falling into place.
Yeah.
Because people are so fucking pissed that Sheamus is champion now, they're ready to just fucking root for Roman Reigns, yeah, dude. But the moment he wins the belt, the fans are going to fucking turn on him.
Yeah. And wouldn't it be great, though, if they build it all up, get the fans on his side, he wins the belt, and then it's just like, heel turn!
That would be, aside from what I was talking about with a Cena heel turn, that would be the smartest fucking thing they could do, because everybody'd be going nuts that he won it, and then right after he wins it, fucking start bashing the fans for booing him all that time.
Yeah.
Then he has so much heat, then you bring Cena in to save the fucking day.
Yeah, and then you could do the smart move right here, where it's like you just have somebody planted in the crowd. You know what I mean? Where it's like they're sitting there and they're like, you know, so excited that he won the belt. And then his heel turn could be just him spitting in the face of that person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like something like what the fuck?
Yeah,
you know what
dude,
I mean?
It's got to, like I said with Cena, with either of them, dude, it's got to be like a nasty
heel turn. You got to have that impactful moment.
But his first title run, you're going to make him a bad guy and you want him to be the face of the company. I don't know about that, man. I don't know about that.
But at the same time, you know, they could do it the same way that they should have done it with Seth Rollins, where it's like have him be a heel as a champion for a while and then have him get humbled by something. You know what I mean? Like whether it be, you know, realize it, like having him, you know, hear Triple H sitting there talking about, you know, how he's not a good champion, but he's what we need right now since we lost Seth and everything like that.
Right.
You know, something like that, where it's like he just starts getting humbled and just have him, like, you know, sit there and just be in like a meeting or something like with Triple H, like in the ring.
Yeah.
Right. And he goes, have Triple H say something along the lines of like, that's not your title. That's the authority's title. Yeah. We just let you have it. And just have him fucking spit on the belt, throw it down. You know what I mean? Like something like where it's like the fans are like, fuck yes, fuck the authority. You know what I mean?
But dude, I was even after like watching Raw this week, like the authority, like that's such a fucking gimmick is so beat, dude.
Well, yeah, it is. But I'm saying if we have to have him, make something that's like impactful. Like we shit on Hulk Hogan last week, but like when he made that heel turn, when it with the whole who's the third man,
hell yeah,
when he fucking embraced Scott Hall and Kevin Nash in the ring, everybody was fucking
pissed.
Dude,
throwing shit in the ring. Exactly. I mean, like, but and that honestly, that's why it needs to be Cena, dude.
Yeah.
Because the ratings would fly, dude.
Because you got all these fans that have been sitting there going, I'm so sick of John Cena doing this, you know, being a face and everything like that. Oh, see, Super Cena's here to save the day. He makes that heel turn, immediately people are like, I got to watch this.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I mean, I just don't understand how, I don't care about fucking merch sales. You're still going to have merch sales because some fans, like myself growing up, I like to root on the fucking bad guys.
Yeah.
So you're still going to sell Cena merch.
Well, yeah, you're not going to sell nearly as much. And that was another thing that like CM Punk brought up when he was doing when he did the Art of Wrestling podcast with Colt Cabana. He was talking about how Vince would always want him to turn heel. And he's like, I would, but like, I don't want to. My merch sales will fucking dip.
Yeah.
Because he was the only person to outsell John Cena on merch.
Yeah.
Because everybody fucking loved Punk.
Yeah.
And now, like, you don't have that someone that they love as much as people love Cena. Because Cena, like, he will always be on top with merch sales. Why? Because you have every fucking kid in the world rooting for him.
Yeah.
And on top of that, he has a new fucking shirt every week.
Yeah.
You know?
I just, dude, I wish they could get Punk back. That would be huge.
The sad part, though, is it'll never happen.
I mean, never say never.
Yeah,
I
but they left so bad, and he fucking hates wrestling so much now because of his experience in WWE. A lot of it's brought on by Vince McMahon.
Most of it's brought on by Vince McMahon. Yeah. I mean, if you haven't, if anybody who, like, if you want to hear dirt on the WWE, like, if you're a newer wrestling fan or whatever, or haven't been watching it for a long time, go check out those two episodes of the Art of Wrestling podcast with CM Punk.
Yeah.
Because he dishes, man. He fucking tells his whole story. And I mean, that is one side of the story, but Punk is a straight fucking shooter.
Yeah, exactly. That's one thing. Like, Punk is the kind of guy that will not pull any punches.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. It's funny because when you listen to it, he says on the podcast, he's like, I don't want this to be a shoot interview. I don't want this to be a fuck WWE interview. Yeah. He's like, I just want to get my side of the story out there.
Yeah.
And realistically, I mean, he's a lot more believable than Vince McMahon.
I mean, you can't believe a fucking word, Vince.
Well, not only that, but like when, you know, he says on the podcast, you know, for those of you that are not listening and don't want any spoilers, skip ahead about 15, 20 seconds. But he mentions that he was fired on his wedding day. But when he left, WWE said, oh, he quit. He walked out. Yeah. You know, he took
and
his ball
Vince
and went
said
home.
And then Vince said when it did come out that his, when that podcast came out, Vince said, he's like, I didn't know that it was his wedding day. It's like, oh, so you didn't know one of your top fucking guys when he was getting married? Really?
Well, it's bullshit because, like they said, 2 days, like he said 2 days before, Hunter called him and he was like, hey, you know, can we talk? And he's like, hey, I've always been one phone call away. I'm getting married in 2 days and then I'm going on my honeymoon. I'll call you when I get back. And they fucking 2 days shipped a fucking FedEx to his house. Yeah. It's like, dude, that's fucking planning. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Absolutely. I mean, Vince doesn't care. Like, look at, he fucked Bret Hart on his way out, dude. Mm-hmm. So hard. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people who've seen this or listened to this have seen the Wrestling with Shadows, like where it documents the fucking
screw job. Yeah, if not, it's on Hulu.
Yeah, it's on Hulu. It's fucking great.
It's a must-see for every wrestling fan. Absolutely. It is literally as must-see as Beyond the Mat is.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like, you got your top guy. Like, I mean, obviously Austin was becoming the top guy, but you got your fucking top guy who calls Vince McMahon. It's in the documentary. He calls Vince McMahon, and WCW was offering him a fuck ton of money.
It was like $2 million a year.
And this was after Vince had told Bret, after he signed a 20-year fucking contract with the WWF, and then Vince pulled out of it.
Yeah.
And Vince pulled out of it and then said, he called Vince and said, I don't want to leave. Give me a reason to stay.
Yeah.
And Vince told him to go to WCW. And then Vince wanted him to lose the belt in Canada when, at the time, their fucking angle was he was so pro-Canadian and anti-American.
Yeah.
And he's like, you can't make me drop the belt. He goes, I'll come on Raw the next night and I'll give it to you, but don't make me drop the belt in Canada. It was agreed upon that he wouldn't drop the belt in Canada. And what fucking happens? Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and Vince McMahon fucked Bret Hart.
Exactly. And that's the thing, you know, you can read all about it. It's like the whole...
It's all over the internet. It's all over documentaries.
Exactly. And, you know, it's funny because it's like, what's crazy is WWE is even proud of the fact that they did that.
I mean, not anymore. I'm sure Vince, deep down he is.
But even in the fucking Attitude Era DVD, when you watch it, they sit there and talk about it. And all he fucking talks about is how it was the birth of the Mr. McMahon character. And, like, he's never like, you know, it was probably not the best thing to do. You know what I mean? He never says anything along the lines of it. He's just like, you know, it was that night that we established the Vince McMahon character.
Yeah, but, I mean, at the sake of a guy who carried you, the sake of a guy who fucking carried you, and had he not gone to WCW, he probably would have never gotten hurt, and he probably would have still been wrestling until 5 years ago.
Well, you know, it's a lot like, you know, I guess if you could... take it, like, you know, in terms of movies, you know, because I'm a big movie buff. It's kind of, it reminds me a lot of Obi-Wan and Anakin fighting on that, you know, at the end of episode 3. You know what I mean? You have that big fight, and he's just like, you were the chosen one. You know?
Yeah, you mean the only bit of acting in that movie done by Ewan McGregor?
Yeah, exactly.
The only bit of acting done in those three fucking movies done by Ewan McGregor?
As opposed to, I mean, you know, we had some other acting, but it was never spoken. It was always just angsty stares. Yeah, I'm talking about Anakin.
Oh, dude, fuck that kid. Fuck that kid royally. I don't even want to talk about Star Wars because the new one's coming out in just a couple weeks, and J.J. Abrams is going to make me fucking jizz all over the place every time I go to see it, because I'll probably see it 10 fucking times in the theater.
How mad will you be if it sucks?
Oh, no, dude.
You're like, I will burn down his house.
I'll fucking do something, dude. This can't suck. It can't suck. It's J.J. Abrams. It can't suck.
That's the thing.
The end of Lost kind of sucked.
I mean, but again, he wasn't writing that.
Yeah, Damon Lindelof was. But, however, he writes The Leftovers, which, if you're not watching that shit, watch that shit. It's creepy.
That show's extra tight, especially if you were a big fan of Lost.
Yeah. Just
what network is it on?
It's on HBO, so you can just download it. But
talking about? I don't ever download things illegally.
Yeah. No, I didn't mean... I meant downloading on iTunes, you idiot.
You know what else you can download on iTunes?
But no, Pete, side note, that what I really, really like about... It drives me nuts about that show, but how, like, the writing arcs of that show and how long it takes pieces of information to come out, but when it does, it just spawns something new.
Yeah.
It's so fucking good.
I think my favorite part about that show, not to get too off topic, is the music accompaniment of, like, what is happening.
Oh, absolutely, dude.
Because it's so David Lynch-esque, it's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's David Lynch-esque. I mean, and, on, like, what really sucks, though, is the first season, and we'll get back to it in a minute, but well, the first season, and the music, the opening music, was so fucking ominous and creepy and has like a Sistine Chapel type like art with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then now it's like some fucking folk song because it's like HBO was like, you need to like not scare people quite as much. And I'm like, no, bring on the devil, man. Yeah. El Jordano Diablo, my lament for the week. Said I wasn't going to do one, but I did one.
You did a mini one.
The mini one.
A mini lament. Mini laments.
Oh, that needs to be I'm sure that'll happen 3 or 4 times a show, though.
Mini laments.
Mini laments.
We just have it. We just need fucking Ty the Gatherer to come in, do another song like he did our outtake
he's
song.
He's in bed tonight. I think he's grounded.
No, but I think he should just come in and just be like, you know, just do some like weird folky type song where it's just like, this is a mini lament.
I'm sure he's dreaming of it right now.
Yeah.
No, he dreams of Faygo.
Yeah, I mean, Vincent Kennedy McMahon has me fucking watching other TV, which I don't really like to do anymore. I try to spend my time working on shit for this bullshit that we
bang
do every
whores.
Week. Banging whores. My name's El Jordano Diablo. I like to bang whores.
That's he goes out.
TW.
He goes out.
Trigger warning.
That's what he does.
Sex workers are people, too.
Oh, God. That's the one.
That's the one. That's the one that's going to get us. No. Wait until I just start bashing feminists.
No, no, you ready for the one that's going to get us?
Hmm.
Sex people or workers too?
If you drop the N-bomb right now, jumping across this
table. No, ready? Say sex workers are people too.
Sex workers are people too.
No, they're not.
There it is.
That's the one.
Come at me, feminists. I don't care.
Don't worry.
We are officially going to become a Facebook post. Yeah.
These fucking fat misogynist pigs.
You think that's the first time I've been called that, man?
This week?
Absolutely. I mean, but hey, I said I was going to be the next Vincent Kennedy McMahon. I need to start fucking...
Getting sexual harassment suits.
Yeah. And... Come at me with something.
Poor Donald, you're going to be the alpha fuckboy.
Amen to that.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, oh man.
This is the most ADD episode ever.
It is. It's fine. I don't give a shit, though.
F-A-T
I'm having fun.
With ADD.
I mean, another thing about Vince, dude, he didn't give a fuck when Owen Hart died. When he killed Owen Hart, he didn't give a fuck, dude.
He was like, at least, I will say this, though. You know, yeah, he didn't fucking really care about it, but at the same time, at least they didn't milk it like they did Eddie Guerrero's death.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, that's it. Dude, what the hell, man? They brought Vicky Guerrero on for like 7 fucking years. She's like one of the most fucking cunts in the world.
But wasn't like the storyline like she was a widow, but she was like banging Edge?
I think so. Yeah. I think that was on that Best of SmackDown DVD you let me borrow.
You still have.
I do still have it. But no, like, that, dude, that's just... Vince McMahon has done so many questionable fucking things. He wanted to do an incest angle where he was sleeping with his daughter. Are you fucking kidding me?
Right, that's just real Donald Trump shit.
Yeah, no, and dude, they're good friends.
I know.
I just fucking am waiting to hear like the keys on the keyboard clacking as fucking Pete just Googles all this shit to see if it was real.
It's 100% real. And the we had that McMahon versus Trump hair match. All and obviously Vince McMahon was gonna win because you can't cut off a wig.
Yeah, no, so. but well, you mean lose? Because it was the loser.
Did I say lose or win? I meant lose. People know what
I mean. Do you guys remember, and now I know my knowledge isn't as vast as your guys' is in terms of wrestling.
In terms of bullshit?
Poser.
Do you guys remember the, I forget when it was, it might have been 97, 98, when Vince McMahon fought or wrestled Stone Cold Steve Austin, and there was like the whole like training...
when he the montage
when he tried to grab the chicken
and, like, lifting, and over the course of like 2 episodes he had just gotten jacked
steroids.
No, but do you guys remember that?
I do. Oh, absolutely. I do, but man.
Do you remember him chasing a chicken? Because I do.
Chasing a chicken, drinking eggs. Yeah. And Shane was his trainer.
When he was like, wasn't he like fucking having him run next to a limo or something?
Yeah. Do you think the entire time he wore like the Adidas black sweatpants with like the white black wife beater?
Yeah, dude.
I remember that.
Yep. I remember that montage very like.
That's what I was looking for. It was all filmed like a giant montage.
We're gonna need a montage. Even Rocky had a montage.
That's my most vivid memory of Vince McMahon, other than being a complete fucking asshole all the fucking time.
All the time. Did you do you remember shit? What was I gonna say about Vince? Or do you think that when Shane comes back, do you think he'll take spots like he used to?
Probably,
dude. I mean, you got
if Sting can do it, why not? You know?
Yeah, but I mean, dude, Sting's not jumping off a 50-foot fucking Titantron like. Shane would and did multiple times. Shane had balls, dude.
It got to a point,
Shane
though,
O'Mac.
It was funny though, because it actually got to a point where you're just like, oh, okay, he's doing that again. He did it so much.
I mean, but it was still sweet. I mean, somebody's got to take spots like
that. I just love my favorite memory of Shane McMahon is when he was in the match with his dad and he fucking cleared the entire ring from one corner to the other. And kicked the fucking trash can.
Oh, yeah, when he did pretty much the Van Terminator, but with a trash can. Yeah, that was fucking sweet.
I was like, wow, man, that dude got air.
I mean, that's just ripping off RVD, but still.
Rivet.
Do you remember, can you tell me what my favorite Stephanie McMahon moment is?
Probably when her tit falls out.
Yep.
When
Triple H, that's the one.
When Triple H pedigrees her.
I was in love with her back then, dude. She like
come at us, feminists. That's the best thing she's ever done on TV.
No, that's just my favorite thing she's ever done. I mean, it was an accident. It was a nip slip, if you will.
A nip slip.
You can see her. You can see when it happens. So if you could look it up on fucking YouTube, Triple H goes to pedigree his fucking wife. And her boob falls out of like this. It's like a pleather dress, and you can see her arm like trying to get it out. Like, oh shit, that was on TV.
Oh man.
And that's probably what spawned Vince wanting to do the incest angle. Dude, yeah. And if you think
all, he's just like, my kid's got great tits.
He's probably the one who forced her to get fucking breast implants because he's a piece of shit. I hate the dude. I hate him. I don't know how. I mean, I don't know how much more like. We can really say about him. He's a piece of fucking shit. And he's ruined everything I loved growing up. And fuck him.
Very short topic discussion, actually.
That's
all right. This week.
We can't bore people with an hour and a half every fucking week.
Only the people in Spain.
I just think it's hilarious that, like, I, like, grew up, like, thinking him owning the WWE was completely fake.
But oh, like an angle?
He like legitimately owns it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
For a while, he was just playing up that he was just a fucking ring announcer. And
but he was the owner. Yeah, he was the
owner and CEO operator.
Even. So he was the chairman from 1980 to present.
Yep.
He was the president from 80 to 93.
And then CEO
from 80 to 93, and then again 2009 to present.
Yep.
6'2", 248 pounds.
Probably close to 270 when he was on roids.
Yeah, he's 70 years old, so good news, he might die soon.
Only if we're lucky.
And his net worth currently is, are you prepared for this? 1.2 billion, yeah.
Jesus Christ, man. Dude, that if that is not the definition of fuck you money, I don't know what is.
The definition of fuck you money.
It's just so sad.
That's like, dude, that's him. He's sitting. I just picture him sitting in his office with just stacks of 100s to the ceiling, throwing them everywhere, laughing, going, I can do what I want. I can do what I want.
No, I just imagine him like looking like fucking Heisenberg at the start of season 5, where he's like sitting on the throne made out of money in the fucking storage locker and shit. It's like, all hail the king.
Well, I guess next week we'll probably come up with something. I mean, that's less just fuck you. It's the open love letter to Vince McMahon, or an open fuck you letter to Vince McMahon this week.
It's just it's crazy. You know what I mean? But I think this is good though. I think we needed a cool down after the epicness that was last week.
Yeah, I would. I mean, I don't want to pat us on the backs too hard, but I mean,
no, I mean epicness in terms of Ty the Gatherer.
Oh well, yeah, duh.
We need a fucking, you know.
I mean, we're gonna see a series in listens once they figure out that Ty the Gatherer's not on this week, but he will be back soon. And another reason to cut this short is because we actually have some. Well, I have some work to do for the podcast tonight, and we might have some fucking cool news coming up for everybody soon. So
you gotta stay tuned.
You gotta listen to this because I mean, there might be shit happening with the Fatitude era.
Yeah, a lot of shit.
Not that we're just on iTunes.
Exactly. That's most of it, though.
But in the words of the immortal Jim Cornette,
thank you, fuck you, bye.
Hey everyone, if you enjoy the quality of what you're hearing and you've got a studio project, a band looking to record a podcast of your own, or any audio related items, please shoot an email to pmilkovic.1@gmail.com. That's pmilkovic.1@gmail.com. We've got full capabilities for tracking, mixing, editing, and mastering. If you got any interest, please shoot an email. All right, thanks. Have a good week. Roland.
Sorry.
Ready to go? Yep. Rolling.
And we immediately,
dead air.
Air and little giggles.
Well, what's funny is we just locked eyes for a second. I was waiting for us to both be in the rolling.
Can't beat that fucking joke into the ground, even though we will.
Oh my God.
Oh, wait. No, that's not where they're at.
We're at the topic discussion.
Yeah, we are. I gotta find that. Yep. Okay, we're good.
Go for it.
All right. Jess?